How to Lose Your Sight. Nearly two centuries ago, when Christians practiced chattel slavery in this place where I now live, George Freeman pastored Christ Church, Raleigh, a congregation whose building still sits across the street from North Carolina's old state capital. In the fall of 2016, just after I'd received my copy of Decision Magazine in the mail, Franklin Graham held a rally in the shadow of Christ Church's steeple. This home state grand finale of the BGEA's $10 million 50-state tour was, according to Graham, nonpartisan. Still, he warned those who gathered for prayer that progressive was a euphemism for atheist, and he lauded Republican Governor Pat McCrory's Christian values, despite a federal court ruling just months before that found a North Carolina bill had targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision. As his words echoed off the Christ Church building, Graham argued that Christians had a solemn duty to pray for their nation and vote for candidates who would redeem America from its liberal decline. "We have to stand up and tell them to shut up," he said, "because there are more of us than there are of them." Graham's math, as it turns out, was off. McCrory, the governor he'd praised, lost his re-election bid by just over 10,000 votes. But Trump won North Carolina handily, a result Graham later attributed to a God factor that the mainstream media had missed. He didn't realize how directly his line of reasoning flowed from the Bishop George W. Freeman's The Rights and Duties of Slaveholders, an exhortation written 180 years earlier from the pastor's desk of Christ Church, Raleigh, across the street from where Graham had rallied North Carolina's faithful. To trace the line from Bishop Freeman to Franklin Graham is to begin to understand why white Christians cannot see sisters and brothers of color in 21st century America. As I listened to Graham and thought about my grandfather, I knew we'd not failed to see because our eyes were closed, like night watchmen asleep at their post. No, Graham spoke with the same stirring conviction that George Washington Freeman felt when he wrote, "I tremble for Christian masters and mistresses throughout the land. Have any of us given to the full extent and meaning of the apostles' precept in respect to this, the most important of all the enslaved people's interests? Have we given unto our servants that which is just and equal?" To apathetic bystanders, activists often cry, "Wake up, open your eyes." But apathy was not the problem for white evangelicals, neither in 1836 nor in 2016. They were wide awake and working tirelessly to enact their vision of redemption. Freeman referenced the King James Version I memorized as a kid, that text in Colossians where the Apostle Paul writes, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Across the Atlantic Ocean, where London was still the center of world power, slavery had recently been abolished. Amid the spiritual fervor of America's Second Great Awakening, the American Anti-Slavery Society was communicating a consistent and clear interpretation of the apostle, meaning the only just and equal way to treat a slave was to free him. Faced with a deluge of petitions for abolition during its 1836 session, the U.S. House of Representatives adopted a gag rule, which immediately tabled any legislation calling for an end to slavery. This was the context in which Freeman wrote about the rights and duties of slaveholders. Like Graham and other white evangelicals,